When you're feeling powerless, you can trust Jesus. That's a phrase we learned in VBS this week, trusting Jesus. And often, we do feel powerless. You know, when a relationship goes off the rails and we can't fix it, we feel like we don't have any power over our circumstances. Or we can feel powerless when we get sick and we can't get better. Or when we're lonely and we can't seem to connect with anyone, anywhere. There are so many times, if we're honest, in our lives when we actually feel powerless over our situations. And even as a church, we can feel powerless. Sometimes we don't feel like we have power over the outside forces that affect us. And no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, it seems like we just can't seem to move forward. And I want to let you know that it is in these times when you feel most powerless that you can trust Jesus. His name is power. So when our lives are powerless, and whatever you're facing seems to be so overwhelming, Jesus has the power to overcome. So you truly can trust him completely. So what we are going to discover today is that when you put your faith in Jesus, when you trust him and become a believer, his unimaginable power is for you. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And thank you for the power that you display in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's hope in every situation, no matter how powerless you feel, because Jesus, his name is power. In this letter of Ephesians, the apostle writes, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you were called." So do you know that hope? This past week, God's power has been at work through you all, through his church. And Bethlehem Covenant Church has partnered with Good Shepherd Church to put on this amazing vacation Bible school. So Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, Cheryl and I both had an extremely difficult time sleeping. Now, this is not unusual in the middle of VBS. The spiritual atmosphere is stirring after 3 days of preparing for what is to come. You know, 80-plus kids all learning that they can trust Jesus when they're afraid. They can trust Jesus when they're alone. They can trust Jesus when they need hope. And we're talking about putting faith, right? Real trust in Christ. So Wednesday is the day that we don't take lightly as a Great Commission church, because we know that the kids are going to hear the gospel, and some of them for the very first time. They're going to hear about Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins so that we might be forgiven and set free. There is power in the name of Jesus. So when we realize that Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses," we take him at his word, no matter what age we're dealing with. We know that kids need to hear about Jesus at a younger and younger age. And this week, out of the 80-plus kids or 90 kids that were there, over 35 of them were preschool or kindergarten age. So God, we got to see, is on the move. So after a sleepless night, an incredibly busy week, in certain need of God's help, we were in position to truly witness a miracle. Now, you might think I'm hyping this up, but I believe a true miracle. So through the Holy Spirit, the Bible leader, Cheryl, got to lead 29 kids to make first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. 29 kids made first-time commitments to Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about reaching people for Jesus, it doesn't matter the age, does it? Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." And those kids now have a foundation of faith on which to build, to trust Jesus when they feel powerless. Imagine the impact in their lives when they begin doing that even now. So God's mighty power is at work. And here's the good news. God is building his church. Jesus is growing the church. So are you ready for the church to grow? Yes. All right, because 29 more kids who are growing up in an anxious and uncertain world know that now they can trust Jesus, and they're going to be looking to the church, looking to you when they need that encouragement and support. So we are called now to disciple them. Disciple them all. So I want to say, good job, church. Good job for all those who are part of VBS. Good job for all those who prayed for VBS. Good job to all you who supported the work and the life and the ministry of Bethlehem Covenant Church and our partner church over at Good Shepherd. So good job. And if you are waiting for a plentiful harvest, good news, it's here. There's joy in the house of the Lord. This is reason to celebrate. This is a time to actually trust Jesus even more. As these kindergarten kids face difficult times in their lives, they are going to feel powerless. Now they're going to look to you to remind them that they can trust Jesus. That in those situations that maybe they hadn't yet experienced in life, difficult points for them at any age, that you are the ones who get to come alongside them and say, you know, at VBS we learned to trust Jesus. Now is the time that you can trust Jesus. And you're going to be able to share with them a time in your life when you experienced a difficult situation, maybe like theirs, and where you got to trust Jesus and you got to see God work in and through that situation. And you can then encourage them with your stories about how God has been faithful to you. So I don't want us to miss what is happening right now. You know, Paul's prayer that in the scripture is active. It's as important right now as it was then when it was written. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, say no, in order that you may know the hope to which you were called. Paul wants us to become spiritually awakened, to know truly that when we feel powerless, and we do, that we can trust Jesus. We learned a song this week. It goes like this. My God is powerful. He stands invincible. I will hold on to him. I will hold on to him. So how can we have such confidence and hope in Jesus? What really makes that possible? We can because there's no power greater than Jesus. Let me say that one more time. Say that with me, actually. There is no power greater than Jesus. Do you believe that? You can be sure of this. And you can also be sure that Jesus is for you because he loves you. The title of this message is, His Name is Power. So in Alaska this past summer, I had a chance to go on a fishing charter with my son-in-law. We were fishing for halibut and rockfish out from Prince William Sound. Beautiful place to be. Our captain of the boat, however, not however, he was the captain. He had been fishing for 10 years. He was determined to do everything in his power to make sure that we caught all the fish that we were supposed to. So after a 3.5-hour ride out into the ocean, we dropped our lines. And the captain, he wasn't afraid to call any of us out when we were messing up. He was adamant that we both followed the rules, and more importantly, we followed his instructions if somebody had a fish on. So as the day went on, every person on that boat had been instructed on our failures in fishing as we went on. Finally, we kind of caught a lull in the action. Everything quieted down, and I listened. From the front of the boat as the captain shared his ideas about faith with another fisher person. And he clearly was not a Christian. He didn't intend to become a Christian. He thought it was limiting and naive. That's where he was. Yet something very interesting happened shortly after that conversation ended. The fish started biting, things got crazy really fast, and he started to call on the name of Jesus. At least he started saying, Jesus, oh Jesus, what are you doing? Oh Jesus. It took everything in my power not to say, so you do talk to him. I think it's interesting, isn't it, that it's the name of Jesus that is uttered in times of chaos. I don't think our fishing boat captain has any clue the power that is in that name. And it is experienced through a relationship. Now, chapter 1 of Paul's letter reminds Christians that we don't need to look for power anywhere other than in Jesus. All the fullness of God dwells in him. Everything we need for life, we find in Jesus. The apostle writes that he's praying for you. Somehow that you and I, that we will all know with absolute certainty the reality of Jesus' power in our life. We'll know that there's power in his name. Chapter 1 and verse 15 of the letter of Ephesians, again, it begins, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better." I like the way the Life Application Bible describes this Spirit's work in giving understanding. It says the apostle prays that the lights will go on inside of people so that they will truly know God and understand God's great power in their lives. And that's actually what often happens. Sometimes all of the sudden, someone gets it. As the Bible said, the lights turn on. I got it. I didn't know the Lord, and then I did know the Lord. I didn't know his power, then I did know his power. It's in a moment. And I hope that one day my fishing boat captain will someday be calling on the name of Jesus and all of a sudden know his power. Just like that. By revelation, who Jesus truly is. The Holy Spirit brings those lights on so that we can see. Just like the childlike revelation that is expressed by faith with 29 kids putting their trust in Jesus. It might sound cute, but imagine the reality, the impact when a childlike faith put their heart in Christ and the Holy Spirit enters their lives. They are forever changed. They are new creations. The kingdom is coming. Paul wants you to go, even as a Christian, deeper and deeper in that revelation, to know Jesus better and better, more and more. So every time you face a circumstance, when you feel powerless, and you do, it's an opportunity to trust Jesus more. The Apostle Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." Now, the heart here in Scripture, it describes our center of judgment, that place of feeling. Paul wants everyone, as a believer, to realize everything that is available to you in Christ. So often, we just get a glimpse of the fullness of who Christ is. And Paul goes on to describe three realities that change your life when you trust Jesus. So do you feel powerless? You can trust Jesus. Here's what you have through a relationship with Jesus. First, you have a future through God's call on your life. Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." Hope. You know, just because sometimes life feels hopeless doesn't mean that it is. That simply becomes another invitation to put your hope in Jesus, because he has a big, big, unimaginable plan for you. You have a promise that is actually mind-boggling in all of its fulfillment. Paul describes it as the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So second, you have this inheritance, which is far more than money. Wealth as a child of God in the kingdom of heaven is the fullness of all of God's promises to his people. All of Scripture being fulfilled in Christ for what God had planned for all his people. It's a complete well-being in God's presence. When we talk about shalom, meaning everything being right with God in heaven and on earth, that's God's promise with you. Right with God, right with others. It's joy and peace. It's love overflowing and mercy and compassion. It's goodness and glory. It's light and life. And you realize that even now, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to feel guilty or ashamed or unworthy, because by faith you have inherited everything you ever need, and it is all found in Jesus and in his name. Third, through a relationship with Jesus, believers will know, Paul says, his incomparably great power for us who believe. You know, this language that he's used, an unimaginable power, incomparable greatness. It's like a whole new category. It's directed to the believer. So all of God's power, unimaginable, is directed towards you. The incomparable power. You know, the word in the Greek is dynamis. It's the same word that you get for dynamite. What happens when you light a fuse of dynamite? You run, because it's going to go kapoor. That great power. Friends, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I don't think my fishing boat captain knows what kind of power we're talking about. Paul says, the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That power that raised Jesus from the dead also is the power that seated him in the heavenly realms ahead of all power. This is power over all things. There is nothing greater, no more authority than Jesus. Nothing at all. Nothing. And this life-giving power is available to who? To the church. Who's the church? We are the church. This power is available to you. There's power in the name of Jesus. Paul wraps up this section saying that that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other name with power like Jesus. He has absolute authority in heaven and earth because he is infinitely superior over every other power. And in Christ, everyone who believes becomes a new creation by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And as a new creation, with a call, with a hope, with an inheritance, you are the church. And as the church, you have one more great and glorious gift. And here it is. Paul says, and God placed all things under his feet, Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is the all-powerful God who is head over the church, and through him, he fills everything in every way, each and every one of us. So the church has the authority to overcome all opposition because Jesus is head and Lord of all. Therefore, church, whatever is going on in your life, there is power in Jesus' name. He is invincible. And through Jesus, you will overcome. Just hold on to him. I will hold on to him. I will hold on to him. Let's pray. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sin. And thank you, Lord, for the power that raised Jesus from the dead that you now give to your church through Christ. And Lord, help us to live as those who know that power, who do not fear, who walk with you, who know that when things seem powerless in our lives, that we can trust you. So Lord, I pray that everyone here today who is listening to this message online, here in person, everyone who will hear this message, Lord, will trust in you and know you more and more. If you trust him, continue to rely on him. If you do not yet know Jesus, you don't yet know trust him, then I encourage you, I invite you to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that forgives you of all of your sin. Simply invite Jesus into your life with a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, your power, that I may live for you and know you more and more. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.